Last Sunday, we took a week break from our study of James. So really going back to two Sundays, verses 6 through 10, simply put, it's an invitation to repentance. It's an invitation to humble oneself. Because, verse 6, it's the humble that get grace. Verse 10, it's the humble that the Lord lifts up. True believers are marked by humility. Those that God saves are the humble. Those that are saved, their lives will show that they are. They will be humble. They will live in humility. Ultimately, first and foremost, a humility before the Lord, but then as well in relationship with others. Conversely, those who live their lives in constant violation of a humble spirit, the proud who continuously live in pride, really their claim to salvation would be in question. From that, James proceeds, demonstrating one specific way that pride is revealed and humility violated. Look at it in verse 11. Brothers, do not slander one another. Once again, as we have already been in James, as we so often are throughout all of Scripture, we are forced to consider our tongue and our talk. We're confronted once again with the very clear message of God's Word. Our mouth matters. Yes, it does. And it matters because what's in the mouth and what comes out of the mouth reveals what's in the heart. In Matthew chapter 12, you brood of vipers, Jesus says, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. With that, Jesus includes then this: I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Wow, right? Powerful, shock and awe kind of challenging and convicting words. And we want to push back, but wait. Our acquittal is supposed to be only by grace through faith. Acquittal is supposed to have nothing to do with us, nothing to do with what we've done, nothing to do with what we would say. It's supposed to be all about Jesus and what Jesus has done for us. Very specifically, what Jesus did for us at Calvary. We're inclined to push back. What is this blasphemy that is us acquitted or condemned by our words? It's in fact no blasphemy at all. You can see it in Matthew. These are words in red. These are the words of Jesus himself. What the Lord says, your words will reveal your heart. If it's evil coming out, that heart's not been cleansed, not been purified, not saved. No, evil coming out reveals it's still an evil heart inside. And so, condemned. If it's good, though, it's a good heart, a washed heart, a new heart, acquitted. In Matthew 15, listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean. Jesus explains in verse 17, don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body, but the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and that makes a man unclean. The tongue is the bucket that goes down to the well. It only brings up, it only speaks out what's down in that well, what's down in that heart. Your mouth, your tongue, your talk reveal the condition of your heart. Maybe more specifically, we could say it this way. They reveal the kind of faith that you have in your heart. Remember, there is the fake and the false faith, the dead faith that does not save, it can't. And then there is the real faith, the true and the genuine faith, the living faith that does save. Listen, you better know. You better know before you stand before the Lord on that judgment day. Listen, your faith will determine what you hear from Him on that day. The dead faith hears from the Lord, "Depart from me, I never knew you." The living faith, only the living faith, hears from the Lord on that day, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You better know what kind of faith you possess. Is it the dead that doesn't, that can't save? No matter you calling Him on that day, "Lord, Lord." Or is it the living faith that does save you? In the words of Jesus, your mouth will tell. Your tongue and your talk will reveal what's in your heart, will reveal just what kind of faith you have. The message behind the message, if you will, the new birth, your salvation makes you a new creation. And part of being a new creation, it's not the only thing, but certainly just because it's not the only thing, maybe even we would be inclined to agree it's not the most important thing, maybe, but just because it's not the only thing or even the most important thing doesn't mean we get to discount it. Part of being a new creation is a new tongue and a new talk. Christians are to talk different than other people. So often we want to talk like everyone else is talking and make our, listen now, unbiblical claim that we can, because they're just words and words don't really matter. Listen, if you talk like everyone else, there ought to be red flags waving, sirens going off in your heart and mind this morning. Christians talk different. Our real, true and genuine, living and saving faith in our heart will manifest itself, will reveal itself in always and only the good coming out of our mouths. In Ephesians 4, "Surely you heard of Him and were taught in Him according with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires." Of course you were taught that. That's the old. That's not who you are anymore. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. So you are to put off the old self, and you are to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully. There's a few more things, but then this in verse 29. "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Verse 31, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every other form of malice." The message is clear. The old self, it talks one way, but that old self, we put that off. That's the old talk. You got to get rid of that. And we put on the new self. We're new. We're made new. The new man, the new woman, has a different talk then, a new talk. In Colossians 3 and verse 7, "You used to walk in these ways." Back to verse 6, "These were the ways that aroused and that brought the wrath of God." You used to do all the things that did that in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourselves of those things. Things like this: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Don't lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of its Creator. Paul concludes in chapter 4 and verse 6, "Let your conversation be always full of grace." Do you understand? Salvation has a profound effect on your speech because it changes, radically changes your heart from which your mouth speaks. No longer the anger, no longer the rage and malice, the slander and lies, no longer the filthy talk. Instead, it's more and more the wholesome. That's the kind words, the fitting words, sensitive and purposeful, complimentary, truthful, cleansing and purifying. It's more and more the talk that halts any and all corruption, any and all evil. It's more and more the grace talk. Listen, the real faith, the true and genuine faith, the living and saving faith, results in a new creation. For them, the new creation, the new man, the new woman, more and more the new. More and more the newness of life, reflected, yes, in everything, but reflected certainly in their talk. More and more the loving speech that ministers grace. More and more the talk that pleases the Lord, and less the evil that arouses and brings his wrath. Back to James, very specifically, less and less the slander. Brothers, do not slander one another. In the context of James chapter 4, slander is a sin of pride. It clearly violates the standard of the humble and the life of humility. In the context of all of James, slander is failing the test. One writes this, slander, the condemnation of others, betrays an evil nature, not a new one, not a transformed life, certainly not a new creation in Christ Jesus. A slanderous, gossiping, backbiting mouth betrays an unchanged heart. Slander is the evil that comes out of a still evil heart. No matter our Lord talk, slander betrays a dead, non-saving faith inside of us. From James chapter 4, just a few things this morning. First, this, the command. It's easy enough to see in verse 11, but in understanding the command so that we might live our lives in obedience to it, good for us to have a minute to simply consider what exactly slander is. Slander, backbiting, gossiping. In some translations, the command is to not speak evil of one another. Don't say cruel things. The Message puts it this way, don't badmouth each other. Still others, don't criticize. All of that would fall into the category of what we might think of, more the legal term maybe, defamation of character. The dictionary defines that as an attack on the reputation of someone by publishing falsely and maliciously things that slander and injure. It's proclaiming, speaking publicly, out loud to others, what is known to be false, or even announcing, declaring as true something you don't actually know to be true, all with a malicious intent, an attack on another's reputation. That's defamation of character. In our country, it's against the law. You can be subjected to a civil lawsuit if you defame someone's character. You can be sued. Even as corrupt and wicked and evil as our society is, we recognize the importance of one's reputation. We recognize laws must be in place so that the reputation can be protected. It may interest you to know, in the very early and founding years of New York, those who slandered or defamed another person were apprehended, and the punishment was to pierce through their tongue with a hot iron and then banish them from New York. Would that that were still such the punishment today. How good that would be, I think, maybe, for our society. On the other hand, if there was that, how would we ever understand the news? All the news folks trying to talk with a pierced tongue. We'd never understand not one politician. And even worse still, I'm not sure how well I would be understood with a hole in my tongue. I'm not sure how well I'd ever understand you with a hole in yours. Slander is a sin of the tongue. And it's true, there are few sins more damaging as those of the tongue. Few more damaging than slander. And also it's true, there are few sins more prevalent, more common than those of the tongue, even slander. Do you understand? Our circumstances make some sins impossible for us to commit. You can't always do just anything you want, but you can always say whatever you want. Sitting here in this sanctuary, in these pews, there's a lot of sin you can't commit. It's impossible. But if you chose to, you could right now turn to your neighbor and whisper in their ear the slanderous, sinful tongue and talk thing. There are two words that will often be used for speaking in Scripture. The first is a word that is used for us to get our word, logic. It implies saying something that's been arrived at through thought. The other is a word that is then the opposite. It implies saying something really when there's been no thought at all. Nothing logical, mindless, empty-headed really, careless, meaningless. This is a word that would be used in referencing animals. Their speaking, if you will. The oinking of a hog on his way to the trough. The mooing of a cow on her way to the hay. Just sound. Nothing but noise. It's, of course, this word that's used in James 4. With it, though, is added the prefix that incorporates a downward perspective. So speaking slander against someone, really it's this: mindlessly, carelessly, thoughtlessly, meaninglessly, talking down on someone. Often this word in James, maybe even in your Bible, is translated as backbiting, even really gossip, because also implied in it is the absence of the person being talked down. It's saying things about someone you would never say in front of them. It's attacking another without them present to defend themselves. It's lying against another without them there to set the truth record straight. It's a serious thing, a serious offense. You and another, or even many others, carelessly and thoughtlessly talking down on with malicious intent, attacking the reputation, speaking evil, lying, slandering, defaming the one who is not there. Now, just a quick pause, sort of with what it is, what also it isn't. Slander is not confronting someone, even judging someone involved in sin. That's not what slander is. That's not what James is forbidding. Listen to this from Matthew 18. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you've won your brother over. But watch, what if he doesn't listen? If you won't listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter can be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. But what if he still doesn't listen? Listen, if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, listen to what Jesus says. Treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Luke chapter 17. If your brother sins, rebuke him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it's actually reported that there's sexual immorality among you, and you are proud. Shouldn't you rather have been filled with grief and have put out of your fellowship the man who did this? Verse 4, when you are assembled in the name of our Lord and the power of our Lord Jesus is present, listen, hand this man over to Satan. These are the words of Scripture. In Titus chapter 3, warn a divisive person once and then warn him a second time. After that, have nothing to do with them. This is true. We live in a day where we are told you can't say anything is wrong with anybody. And Scripture is even used to defend such a position. Oh, but the Bible says, you can't judge me. So you can't talk to me like that. You can't come at me like that. You can't confront me with that. That's judging. And you can't do that. Listen to me. You have to listen to me this morning. That's not true at all. Don't let anybody tell you that it is. Scripturally, there is for sure absolutely a place for righteous judgment, the exposing of sin. Listen, watch out now. Even the naming of sinners who refuse to repent. The command of James chapter 4 then, brothers, do not slander one another. It has nothing to do with the exposing of sin for a righteous intent. Do you see the difference? It's righteous. It's not evil. It's not malicious. It's righteous and evidence of righteousness when we confront people in their sin. And again, we have a scriptural responsibility to do that. It's not evil. It's not malicious when we fulfill our biblical responsibility. Of course it's not. It's righteous. It's evidence of righteousness when we then judge people in their sin, call them out on their sin, and even the words of Jesus, disfellowship them if they refuse to repent of their sin. It's righteous. It's evidence of righteousness when we do that for the righteous intent of repentance, so that the brother, so that the sister might come to their senses and seek repentance from the Lord. This has nothing to do with that. Rather, instead, James chapter 4, it has everything to do, listen now, with manufacturing evil about people. There's a difference. Saying damaging things about people, lying about people, there's nothing righteous about that. There's no righteousness in doing that. That's done always and only with an unrighteous intent that is attacking them, compromising, even destroying their reputation. Listen, that is evil, and that is malicious, and that is what slander is. Unless we miss still more of the obvious. Do you recognize the glaring difference? Matthew, Luke, 1 Corinthians, Titus? It's you going to the one, not you gathered with others talking about the one. Listen. The only reason someone's name should come up in a conversation when that someone is not a part of the conversation, the only reason their name should come up is because of the good that you're telling another about them. Listen, if it's not the good that you're saying, then it's the sin of slander that you're committing. Do you understand? It's simple enough. If there's a problem with your brother, go to your brother. If there's a problem with your sister, go to the sister. If you forget them and instead gather with others to talk maliciously about them, you slander them, and that's forbidden. All of Scripture would tell us that it is. Leviticus 19, do not go about spreading slander among your people. Psalm 15, Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? He whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart, and who has no slander on his tongue. He who does these things will never be shaken. Do you understand? The question was the Lord's presence. The person who slanders removes themselves from that. Listen, you can't know God's presence like you otherwise could and would if you're always with malicious and evil intent talking down on others. In Psalm 101, this is what the Lord says. I will not tolerate people who slander their neighbors. The ESV says it this way. Whoever slanders his neighbor, I will destroy. In Proverbs 10, he who conceals his hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. In 1 Corinthians 6, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, you know it's coming, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Again, as believers, we've been changed. Listen to me, brother. Listen to me, sister. You've been changed. You don't do the sexually immoral stuff. You don't steal. You don't get drunk. Of course you don't. But as well, you don't slander either. You've been washed after all, sanctified and justified. Listen, there is a severe disconnect with God's word if and when we think that as a slanderer of others, we can still be, and in fact still are, a part of God's kingdom. God says, the slanderer is out. They're part of the wicked that don't inherit the kingdom. We read this in Ephesians, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. You grieve the Holy Spirit when the unwholesome comes out. The bitterness, the rage, the slander. You grieve the Holy Spirit. You compromise the work the Spirit could do and would do in and through you whenever, instead of embracing Him, you grieve Him and choose slander instead. And Titus, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate and show true humility toward all men. In Proverbs 6, there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to Him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among his brothers. A lying tongue, a false witness, one who maliciously, with evil intent, spreads what is not true about another, one who stirs up dissension. It's all slander, and God hates it. We would know it as His children. Don't we know it? We're to be in the business of doing what God loves, not what He hates. Never what He hates, never the slander. It's one of the most frequently denounced sins in all of God's word. No wonder then we find it in James, the command. Brothers, do not slander one another. Don't say things that mindlessly, carelessly, thoughtlessly, meaninglessly talk someone down. Don't say the things you know aren't true. Don't say the things that you aren't sure are true. No gossip, no backbiting, no speaking of another with malicious and evil intent behind their back. It's characteristic of wicked people to slander others. But you're not the wicked. Don't do it. It's really worse than that. It's worse than just wicked. Listen, it's true. It's satanic. That phone call with the sister to talk about the other sister, what you're doing on that phone, listen, it's satanic. You stop and have that conversation in the foyer of a church, at your home, in your living room, it's satanic. When you commit the sin of slander. In John chapter 8, the words of Jesus, you belong to your father, the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he's a liar and the father of lies. In Revelation, the devil, he's the accuser of the brethren. he's the slanderer of them. One says this in light of that. Slander, it is spawned out of satanic energy. It is a characteristic of those children of Satan who are driven and who are guided by the one who rules over the spiritual forces of all evil. That's not you, though. So you don't do like he does. You don't slander. That kind of talk doesn't belong in the mouth of a Christian, because that kind of talk does not, cannot come from a heart that's been changed, that's been made new by a true, a real and genuine living and saving faith. Brothers, sisters, do not slander one another. The language of James makes it such that the verse could be translated, stop slandering one another. So the command, my brother, my sister, don't slander one another. And if you are, stop. Number two, the cause. A few things that we see here. The first is this, the cause for slander. Slander happens when we don't view others correctly. Notice how James identifies his audience. Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother, we're a family. Do you understand the message? Brothers and sisters, how could you treat one another like this? Brothers and sisters, how could you in a family slander one another? We expect this from the world. We expect it out there, the gossiping, the backbiting, the devouring of one another. We expect the world to hate us with malicious intent, speak evil against us. We expect the slander from out there, but in here, inside the church, it's unacceptable. It's inappropriate. Family doesn't treat family like that. It's not to be tolerated. If there's slander in the house, it's because those in the house have forgotten we are a part of the family of God. If there's slander in your mouth, if there's slander on your lips, it's there because you have forgotten that's your brother, that's your sister, that's another just like you that Jesus died for. Now his child, just like you. Now in his family, just like you. We don't have time to look at it this morning. Count it as homework for the week. You read it as you're able. Take time to study it. Matthew chapter 18, where you read little ones, where you're inclined to think children don't, because really the message is about the church family. It's about believers. If you offend someone, if you offend a brother, a sister, in the way of something like slander, you injure them, a brother, a sister, you cause them to stumble, a brother, a sister. This is what we read in verse 6. It would be better for him, the person who does that, it would be better for that person to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned into the depths of the sea. The very clear message and the very clear warning. You better be careful how you treat other Christians. And no doubt about it, no ifs, ands, or but. There's no need for discussion. There's no question about it. No cause for confusion related to it. To slander a brother, to slander a sister, it's to treat them poorly. Matthew 18, what Jesus says, you're better off dead than to do that. You're better off without hand, foot, or eye. You're better doing whatever you have to do, no matter whatever the whatever is. You're better off doing that than to mistreat a brother or mistreat a sister. You're better off taking the most drastic of actions to make sure you're not doing anything to hurt, saying anything that slanders. Matthew 18, what Jesus says. You talk down on another in the family. You lie about them maliciously and with evil intent. You attack them. You tear them apart. Listen, you do that, and you end up with God and all of heaven against you. You slander one of his own, you offend him. You offend the angels of heaven. You offend Christ, their Savior. You offend the Holy Spirit who dwells in them. Do you understand? You offend all of heaven and end up then with all of heaven against you. Listen, look around the room.
Recognize what you see.
View it all correctly, not incorrectly. That's not Joe. That's God's son. That's your brother. Better be careful. That's not Lisa. That's God's daughter. That's your sister. You better be careful. It's going to sound awkward coming from me, but I'm going to say it because it's still the truth, no matter how awkward it is. I'm not just any. I'm not just your pastor. I'm your brother. You better be careful. Can you believe what Pastor did? Can you believe what Pastor's wanting to do? Can you believe what Pastor... You better be careful. When we do like that, we commit the sin of slander. We forget, we miss who it is that we're talking about. You remember. You recognize that we're a family. Coupled with remembering and recognizing the clear warning of Matthew 18, you will never say anything with malicious or evil intent. You will never say anything that would harm or ruin. You'll never say anything that's not true. How are you going to lie against your brother, against your sister? You're not going to lie against them. You'll never say anything that doesn't have to be said. You'll never mindlessly and thoughtlessly talk down on them. You'll never slander them. You won't do it. You'll stop if you are. Because that's your brother. That's your sister. We're family. And we don't do slander in family. Listen to me, New Life. We're family. And we don't do slander in this family. So don't stop if you are. The second cause for slander is this. We don't think rightly about God or His law. Still verse 11. Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you're not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. The law says don't slander. When you slander, you by your actions are saying, I don't think the law is that important. You deem the law, you judge the law unworthy of your attention. You by your actions are making yourself to be superior to the law. Isn't that really the nature of all sin? Can I tell you, can I remind you that yes, in fact it is? It's what we do in any sin. It's what we do in every sin. God, what you say, it's not that important. God, to me, your law, it's useless. God, what you command, but I'm superior to that. I know better than that. So I'm going to do different than that. Forget your way. Your way is unworthy of my attention, unworthy of my affection, unworthy of my obedience, unworthy of my submission. My way is better. I'm going to do that. God, you're not in charge. I am. Never mind your law. I have a higher law, my law. I'm going to do what I want, what I think is right and best for me. In sin, listen, by way of sin, any sin, all sin, you would never verbalize any of that, but that's exactly what you're verbalizing by the action of your life. We reject our position. Under the authority of the law, we put ourselves in position above the law. One says it this way, we deem ourselves more worthy than the law. Do you see why sin, any and all sin, is so offensive to him? Be careful, church. I fear it way too prevalent, the message from behind our pulpits today, sin. Some small thing that you shrug your shoulder at. Your little slip up. Oops, I probably shouldn't have done that. I probably shouldn't have said that. Ha ha, silly me. Right, God, I'll try to do better next time. What? What's happened to us? No, no way. Your sin is rebellion against him and his law. Your sin is your thievery of the authority that is his and his alone. Your sin is you doing, listen now, it's true. Your sin is you doing just like the devil did. I'll make myself to be God. Never mind him and his law. It will be me and my way. Do you see why the cost of the forgiveness of your sin was so high? His son, his broken body and shed blood, Calvary. Do you see, very specifically related to James, why he so hates slander? We slander because we don't think rightly about God's law, nor do we think rightly about God. Look at it in verse 12. There's only one lawgiver and judge, the one who's able to save and destroy. One says it this way: there's only room for one on the judicial bench, and that one is not you. That one is God, and God alone. Again, it's the same for all sin, but specific to James. In your slander, you push God off the throne of his judgment. You can't do that. There's only one. There will always and forever only be one lawgiver. Only one judge to apply the law. Only one judge who has the power to save by mercy and grace through faith in Jesus. Only one judge who has the power to condemn, to sentence to eternal death and destruction. You can't take his place. But in your sin and in your slander, you try. One says this: sin and its acts are expressed as acts of hostility against God, rebellion against God, despising God, hating God. This is what you do in your sin. This is what you do in your slander. Hostile against him, rebellion, despising him, hating him, resisting God, fighting God, blaspheming God. In short, this is what you do in your sin. This is what you do in your slander. Ultimately, it's atheism. It's saying there is no God. In short, sin is the insult of God's justice. It's the rape of his mercy. It's the jeer of his patience. It's the slight of his power. It's the contempt of his love. And it reveals a hate for God and a pride that is an unthinkable blasphemy. Do you understand? Listen, think rightly about God and his law. Think rightly then about your sin, about slander. Not wrongly, think rightly. See it clearly. See it for what it truly is. And you will not sin. You will not slander another. The third cause for slander is this: we don't think rightly about ourselves. Verse 12, specifically the conclusion of it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who's able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? The Good News Translation maybe expresses it best. Who do you think you are? Could we add a little bit to that? Who in the world? Who in all of heaven and all of earth do you think you are to judge someone else? Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. When you slander another, you put yourself above God. You put yourself above God's law. You put yourself above another. Listen, you put yourself way, 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 way higher than you ought. And you ought not to do that. Don't do that. Think rightly about yourself. Philippians 2. When you do things, whatever you do, whenever you do, do not let selfishness or pride be your guide. Instead, be humble and give more honor to others than to yourselves. Care about them as much as you care about yourself. Listen, you do that. Think rightly, not wrongly about yourself. In humility, you'll then give honor. You won't judge. In humility, you'll then care about others. You won't slander. The command, the cause, number three this morning, the consequence. Genesis chapter 3. The serpent more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from the tree?" The woman said, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that's in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said. "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Do you recognize it? Satan's slander of God. Questioning God's sincerity. Did God really say that? Did God really mean that? Questioning God's motives. He knows if you eat it, you'll be like him. He doesn't want that. He doesn't care about you, Eve, or the fruit. He just cares about protecting his position. He's trying to keep you, Eve, in your place so you don't replace him in his. It's not true. It's a lie. It's a malicious, evil-intended attack on the reputation of God. It's slander. And the effect of it, the outcome of the story because of it, you know it. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and she ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her and he ate it. Sin and separation. Broken relationship with God and with others. That's the result. That's what happens when slander is present. That's the consequence of it. In 2 Samuel chapter 10, the Ammonite king dies and his son begins to rule the kingdom. In verse 2, we read this. David thought, "I will show kindness to Hanan, son of Nahash, just as his father showed kindness to me." So David sent a delegation to express his sympathy to Hanan concerning his father. This is why we love David. This is what makes David so honorable, so highly esteemed, a king among kings. But then verse 3, the Ammonite nobles said to Hanan, their lord, "Do you think David is honoring your father by sending men to you to express sympathy? Hasn't David sent them to you to explore the city, spy it out, and overthrow it?" Do you recognize it? The Ammonite slander of David. Questioning his sincerity, questioning his motives. David doesn't care about you, king. He only wants your kingdom. It's not true. It's a lie. It's a malicious, evil-intended attack on the reputation of David. It's slander. And the effect of it, they seized David's men, insulted them, humiliated and dishonored them, sent them home. And for that, David sends out the entire army of fighting men. We read in verse 18, David killed 700 charioteers and 40,000 of their foot soldiers. Death. That's the consequence of slander. They were a happy little family living in a small town in North Dakota. Each evening, the neighbors were aware of a warmth in their hearts. And they would see the husband, father being met at the gate by wife and children. There was laughter in the evening too. And when the weather was nice, father and children would romp together on the back lawn while mother looked on with happy smiles. Then one day, a village gossip started a story saying that he was being unfaithful to his wife. A story entirely without foundation. But it eventually reached the ears of the young wife. And it was more than she could bear. Reason left its throne. That night when her husband came home, there was no one to meet him at the gate, no laughter in the house, no fragrant aroma coming from the kitchen, only coldness and something that chilled his heart with fear. And down in the basement, he found the three of them hanging from a beam. Sick and in despair, the young mother had first taken the lives of her two children, and then her own. In the days that followed, the truth of what happened came out. A slanderer's tongue, an untrue story, a terrible tragedy. Obviously, not all stories of slander end in tragic, literal, physical death like that. But they all end in tragedy. And they all result in death somehow, some way. "I once knew an extremely courageous lady," one pastor writes. "For one thing, she was waging an uphill battle against alcoholism. For another, she was doing all she could to restore her relationship with God. She chose a small church to attend where she knew many members. One Sunday, as she walked toward the front door, she overheard two ladies talking. How long is that alcoholic going to hang around? She turned then and went back to the car, and she never entered another church building until she died. Those ladies meant no harm, yet seemingly painless gossip, slander, did irreparable damage. It brought death. The tongue has the power of life and death. When we use our tongues for slander, no doubt about it, we bring death. We bring death to the one we slander. Listen, our brother, our sister. Why would we do that? Our slanderous words leaving deep, scarring wounds in them. How could we do that? To a brother? To a sister? We bring death to ourselves. It's sin after all. Make no mistake. That's what sin does. It brings death. And even we bring death to everything and everyone around us. That's what happens when slander is present. That's the consequence. No wonder God hates it. It destroys people. And no wonder then his command, brothers, sisters, do not slander. We finish, call it the conclusion this morning. By the slander, you put yourself above God and above his law. You put yourself above another to judge them, to lie against them, to maliciously and with evil intent talk down on them. And that is a violation of humility. By the slander, you're demonstrating pride. And remember, those that God saves are not the proud, rather they're the humble. Those that are saved, their lives will show that they are. They will be humble. Their lives will be marked by humility. Do you understand this morning? The slander is evidence of pride, which is reason to call into question one's claim of salvation. Let me personalize it this morning. Without meaning to sound mean or rude, your constant and continuous expression of pride, the constant and continuous slander from your mouth, is reason this morning to call into question your claim to salvation. Listen, my brother, my sister, lest you become one that stands before him on that day, Lord, Lord, only to hear from him, but I never knew you. Embrace the humility. Repent. Push away the pride. Don't slander. Stop the slander. By the slander, you're failing the test. Your slanderous talk is telling on you, revealing the evil, dead, non-saving faith that's still in your heart. So brothers, sisters, don't do it. If you are, stop. Stop the slander. The message this morning, it's in the negative context, isn't it? Don't slander. Don't mindlessly, meaninglessly, carelessly, and thoughtlessly talk down on one another. Don't with evil and malicious intent attack another's character. Don't badmouth each other. No backbiting, no gossip, no speaking evil, no evil lies. No harsh and unfair, no cruel criticism. That's the message. But with it, can I also leave you with this? Don't do all that, but do speak kindly to one another. Do speak words of life that encourage and build up. Yes, do that. Don't do the slander, but yes, do that. Do speak the words of love. Do speak always and only the words that are gracious and full of grace. Father, would you help us this morning on both accounts? Would you help us, Lord, first from the message this morning and the ultimate context of it? Would you help us that the slander stops? And we set a marker this morning We won't be a part of it. We refuse to have anything to do with it. We won't be guilty of it. We won't be in on the conversation that's guilty of it. Help us this morning. We can't speak for every other Christian in the world, but we can speak for this church family. We can make our declaration today as brothers and sisters saved by grace, striving to pass the test, live humble lives in humility. We can make our declaration today. No slander here. No slander in our homes. Not by way of our phone calls, text messages, not any conversation. Would you help us? Listen, it's for real this morning. I'm not going to ask you to respond in any sort of visible way, but with heads bowed and eyes closed. This morning, you might be here and there's need for repentance. I just want to give you opportunity to do that. Lord, I'm sorry for the slander. That was my brother. I forgot it was my brother. I forgot it was my sister. I would never say that if they were standing in front of me. It was the backbiting gossip. I'm sorry. I pushed you off the throne, put myself above your law. Who in the world did I think I was? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. This morning, if you sense the need, don't let it pass you by. You know it from a couple of weeks ago. You humble yourself and He will give you grace this morning. He will lift you up. You have only to ask of Him. And He will wash away all of your sin. He will wash away that sin of slander. He'll forgive and cleanse you. And come on, would you all of us, each one, can we pray it? Lord, help us to speak more the kind words. Come on, we left church too many times without speaking a kind word to anybody. We left church too many times. We got off the phone without speaking the words of love, without speaking the grace-filled words. Would you pray? Would you ask the Lord to help you in here, in this house, with this family, with your family? More kind words, more the loving words, more the building up words, more the encouraging words. Come on, in your community, in your neighborhood, at the grocery store, less the complaint, more the kind words, more the loving words, more the grace-filled words. At work, with your boss, with the colleague, more the kind words, more the loving words, more the lifting up and building up words. More the grace-filled words. Lord, would you help us? Not only that you save us from the slander, but that you empower us to more and better speak the words that bring life. I don't mean this to sound weird, but would you just put a hand on your mouth? I dedicate this mouth. Words of life, not death. Come on, just like we would pray for the sick and we'd lay our hands, you put your hand on that mouth. I commit this mouth. I dedicate this mouth. I set aside this mouth. It's going to be words of life, not death. We pray it this morning. And Jesus, we ask for your help in it. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Would you stand to your feet this morning? Let me pray the blessing of the Lord over you before you leave. I'm glad for no pierced tongue. I'm glad for the grace of Jesus this morning. Amen. Amen. I'm glad for His power to help me to talk better, to save me from the slander and help me with the words of life. I pray that all of us are helped by Him today. Would you lift your hands to receive His blessing? I declare it over you.
on the authority of God's word. It must be true. Today and this week, my brother, my sister, my family, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be good and gracious to you. My brother, my sister, I love you, my brother. I love you, my sister. I mean it for real, for real. My family, oh, I pray it. I speak it over you. The Lord turn to you and today and through this week, give to you his peace in Jesus' name. Would you receive his blessing? Would you say amen? Amen and amen.